A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. This week, I received an email from someone who was concerned about criticisms they had read on the internet about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and some of its teachings. The gist of what was apparently said on this website is that Latter-day Saints shouldn't really be considered part of the greater Christian family because they have different beliefs. And because of that, I thought I would talk about some of the basic criticisms that are leveled against the church by websites such as this, and by, in particular, some evangelical Christians. It's important to understand criticisms because if you understand them, you can respond to them. And if you don't, sometimes you have a difficult time. Here are some of the main points. One of the criticisms that's made is that you're automatically saved if you just believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Well, Latter-day Saints don't believe that, and neither do Catholics. But most evangelicals do. The problem with that is that it contradicts what the New Testament says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, we read, quote, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Close quote. The gist of what is said there is that the unrighteous don't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be perfect, but it means that if one sins, one must repent. That's not the only verse in the New Testament that has that kind of an idea as part of it. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5 has a similar thought. Quote, "For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." Close quote. Pretty straightforward. There is a similar thought in John chapter 5, verse 29, which says, quote, "And they that have done good shall come forth unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Close quote. It's not just whether you believe. You must believe and also do good. Try to become more like God and repent when we fall down, as we all do. Here's another thought. Many other Christian denominations, other than the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, think that there was no need for a restoration, that the Bible was provided and the New Testament is the end of it. No more prophets, no more apostles, no more need for any more scriptures. That's it. But if you look at the Bible itself, it has a different point of view. It has different ideas. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 tells us, quote, "Let no one in any way deceive you, for the second coming of Christ will not come unless the apostasy comes first," close quote. The apostasy, this is an ancient Greek word, which has the same root as divorce, or breaking a contract, or to tear something in half. An apostasy is not just kind of a small little departure or deviation. It is an abandonment or a rejection or a rebellion. The apostasy is a pretty dramatic thing, and it's specifically stated that it will occur before the second coming, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Here's another one. Many say the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints could not be true because it has prophets and apostles after the time of Christ. We don't need any more after the time of Jesus. But in Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 through 14, it specifically talks about two prophets in the last day. And it doesn't say that there will be no others than those two. It's just that those two are referenced. And in Amos, in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verse 7, we have this fascinating statement, quote, "God does nothing unless he reveals his secret first to his servants, the prophets," close quote. If God's doing anything today, that means that he's revealing his counsel to prophets today, according to Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Another concept that sometimes separates members of the Restored Gospel from other denominations is the idea of whether or not there can be, or are, or should be, more scriptures than we find in the 66 books that we find in most Bibles today. Paul wrote an epistle to the Christians in the city of Laodicea. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul says this, quote, "When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter from Laodicea," close quote. So here, Paul is saying that his letter to the Laodiceans is on par with Colossians and vice versa. And yet we don't have that letter to the Laodiceans. We don't have a complete Bible right now. If we found the letter to the Laodiceans, it would be an additional book to the 66 books. Should that be part of the Bible? I would certainly say yes. And there are a number of early writings that are now gone from the Bible, like the Shepherd of Hermas, Barnabas, a number of other books, and there are others that maybe, possibly, ought to be included, like some of the authentic sayings of Jesus, real, genuine sayings of Jesus that we don't have in the New Testament that have been found in the last 150 years. Salvation, what does it mean? Does it mean that people can become like God? Well, that's something that Latter-day Saints are criticized for from time to time, but it's part of Catholic doctrine, and Catholics are traditionally considered to be Christians by everyone. Here's Catholic Catechism, Article 460, quote, the only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature so that he made man might make men gods. Close quote. When we come back, more about the Bible and whether or not Latter-day Saints are genuinely to be accepted as part of the Christian community. Stay tuned.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. If you have a question or comment about this show or a general religious question on some topic, feel free to send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, martinstanner@gmail.com, and I will be happy to respond. When we took our break, we just finished talking about how Catholic Catechism, Article 460, specifically acknowledges that Catholic doctrine is that God came to earth so that, quote, he could make men gods, close quote. That's something that Latter-day Saints believe. And there are other places in the Bible that have the same kind of an idea. If you look carefully at Hebrews chapter 1, the first several verses, it talks about how Jesus looks like the Father. And then if you go farther along in the writings of Paul, you find that he believes that we can become like Jesus and like the Father. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, Paul tells us this, quote, "We all, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory," close quote. Paul thinks that as we focus on God, we will become like God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we are told, quote, "He has granted to us his precious," and this is talking about God, "God has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature," close quote. That is quite a dramatic promise. Even John Calvin, who's part of the Protestant tradition, believed, quote, "that we are to receive the sublime truth of our union with Christ as whole persons," close quote. Calvin had this little discussed doctrine of union with Christ. People don't typically believe much in it today, but it was a real thing for Calvin. It's often said that Latter-day Saints have the wrong Jesus. The Jesus that Latter-day Saints believe in isn't the Jesus of the Bible. Therefore, we're not really part of the Christian community. Is that really the case? Here are some reasons why I reject that idea. One is, find a New Testament verse that Latter-day Saints do not believe in. You cannot do it. And yet, most Christians, if they were honest, would say there are things found in the Bible that they either don't understand or don't believe. For instance, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29, baptism for the dead. Another one that I've already mentioned is that the unrighteous will not get into heaven. I mentioned Ephesians 5:5 and 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Many Christians, other Christians, don't believe that. Here's another one. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, Peter says that we will grow into salvation after we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Do you believe in an apostasy? Well, the Bible says so. I guess if you reject the idea of an apostasy, you're not really a Christian? Well, I don't know. The idea that Latter-day Saints believe the wrong Jesus is something that's always found, that I've always found quite odd. The crux of the reason that is claimed is because Latter-day Saints don't believe in the traditional Trinitarian concept of God. But, ironically, the Trinitarian concept is not biblical. The crux of the Trinitarian concept of God is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost are three separate persons of one undivided substance. Now, that one undivided substance is not biblical. Latter-day Saints reject it. They don't believe in it. And that, according to Trinitarians, means they believe in a different Jesus. Well, I guess we could say that they believe in a Jesus that's different from the Bible. I'm okay if you want to go down that road, but that's kind of a problem. Another comment that is sometimes made by critics is that Mormons believe that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan. Now, that's kind of a bizarre statement. Occasionally, there have been some that have said similar ideas. But what that really means is that Latter-day Saints believe that there was a time in the distant past when Jesus and Lucifer both lived in heaven along with all of the rest of us. We were brothers and sisters, and Satan was there, and so was Jesus. And some people say, that can't be right. There's no way that's right. But according to the Bible, it is. Luke chapter 10, verse 18 says, I watched Satan fall from heaven like lightning. The New International Version, the NIV, says, quote, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The King James Version says, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, close quote. Whichever translation you look at, it says the same thing. This is not some bizarre translational quirk or error. All good New Testament translations of Luke 10:18 say, Satan was in heaven, he fell from heaven. Do Latter-day Saints believe in a wrong God the Father? Here, the chief complaint or criticism is that Latter-day Saints believe that God is a man, and they instead believe that he's only a spirit. The problem with that point of view is that in John chapter 5, verse 19, Jesus very clearly and very specifically says that he did nothing except what he saw the Father do. In other words, Jesus was on earth. God the Father had been born on an earth. Jesus was teaching the gospel. God the Father had been teaching the gospel. I don't know how detailed you want to go here, but Jesus said he did nothing. That's a pretty strong superlative. Except what the Father had done before him. There's also the claim that God is just not a man. Well, there is a place in the Bible that says that God is not a man that he should lie, and we all accept that God doesn't lie. But there are other verses that very specifically describe God as a man. Exodus 15:3 says, the Lord is a man of war. His name is Yahweh. His name is Jehovah. And it's this way in the Geneva Bible, the King James Bible, the New English Bible, the Amplified Bible, the NIV. This is not opened for debate. The Bible says that God the Father is a man. Jesus even said that in Mark chapter 10, verse 18, that there is no man good but one, and that man is God. So if anyone says to you that Latter-day Saints are not genuine Christians and not part of the Christian community, I hope some of these thoughts will help you respond to those criticisms. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.